All right, brethren, let's go to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42. My text is verses 18 through 21, but I want to read into chapter 43 just for some context. Isaiah 42:18. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled, and they are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil, and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger, and the strength of battle, and has set him on fire round about, yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Now, brethren, most every commentary that I read, I try to read a lot of the works of others, sermons and whatnot, when I'm preparing. And most every commentary I read says that this passage speaks only of the children of Israel who were blind and refused the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it certainly does describe them. That's no doubt about it. God gave the children of Israel His word. He didn't give His word to any other nation. He gave it to the children of Israel only. They had every advantage a sinner can have. Every advantage. But without a work of grace in their heart, they could not understand the Word of God, nor would they. They could not believe, nor would they believe. They couldn't hear the what the message of the law is. They couldn't hear it. You know, when they would see that lamb die, the message of that book is, that's what the children of Israel deserved. That's what you and me deserve. But that lamb is a picture of the Lamb of God that God would send, that would lay down His life in the room instead of His people. He laid down His life in the room instead of God's spiritual Israel, just like that lamb represented the political Israel in that day. But they saw that. Over and over they saw that. But they trusted their act of bringing that lamb. They trusted their act of going through their religious service and thought that's what made them righteous before God. They were blind, but they thought they could see. They were blind, but they thought they could see. They thought they were perfect by their works of the law. And therefore, they would not and they could not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When God sent judgment to them, it said there, they laid it not to heart. Even when the Lord Jesus Christ came forward and He went to the cross and He bore the fury of God's wrath in place of His people, they laid it not to heart. They laid it not to heart. That shows us, with all the advantages they had, all the oracles of God they had, the priests and the prophets and the Word of God, all that God sent, that shows us, without the grace of God, without the Spirit of God, without Christ Himself being our teacher, we cannot and we will not believe. Look with me over at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is the truth of all men by nature right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, verse 14, the natural man, that's all of us when we come into this world, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. He has discernment to know all things. How did you get that discernment? He looked back up at verse 10. God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? You're the only one that knows what you're thinking. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we've received, been given, freely given, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You see that? The Lord has to reveal this to us. Now look at John 9. John 9, and look at verse 39. John 9, 39. This is after the Lord had healed that blind man. The Pharisees cast him out of the synagogue. His own parents wouldn't stand for him. They denied him. And in John 9:39, the Lord had found him, and the Lord revealed himself to him, gave him faith to believe. And it says, and Jesus said, for judgment I'm coming to the world. Remember, Isaiah 42 starts that way. He said he came to set forth judgment. He said, for judgment I'm coming to this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Are you spiritually blind and deaf by nature? Can you confess that? I am spiritually deaf and blind by nature. I need Christ to reveal Himself in me. I need Christ to fulfill the law for me. I need Christ to keep me and preserve me and present me faultless to the Father. I need Christ to be the author and finisher of faith. I need Him to save me. Can you confess that? He said, if you were blind, if you confess your total inability and your need for Christ to be all your salvation, He said, you should have no sin. If we can confess that, it's because the Lord's already given you sight and already given you hearing. Because that's the only way a man can confess it. That's what we just read in 1 Corinthians. And you have no sin by Christ, if that's so. But also, Christ said, I came so that those who boast that they can see might be made blind. The Pharisees thought they could see. They said, are we blind? And they thought they could see. They thought they'd made themselves righteous. They thought they'd made themselves holy. And so they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And He rejected them. Their sin remained. If one aspect of salvation is up to you, then salvation ceases to be all of grace. Paul said in Romans 11, it's either all of works or it's all of grace. They do not mix. And salvation is all of God's grace. Therefore, your sin remaineth. So certainly this text describes the children of Israel. It certainly does. Certainly does. But it doesn't describe them only. Verse 18. Hear ye deaf and look. Hear ye deaf and look ye blind that you may see. This chapter began with God's command to look. It began that way. It began with God's command to behold Christ Jesus, His righteous servant. Let's read it. Verse 1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth. That is, on the cross and in the hearts of his people. And the isles, his elect Gentiles, by his grace shall wait for his law. Matthew says they'll believe on Christ. Christ came to magnify the law and make it honorable. That's what he came to do. He came to magnify the law and make it honorable. In order to do so, there were some things the Lord Jesus had to be blind to and he had to be deaf to. He came to magnify the law and make it right, make it honorable. So there were some things he had to be blind to and he had to be deaf to. Now let's go back here in our text and let's see this in verse 19. God sent his Son and the Son of God took flesh and he became God's righteous servant. Verse 19. Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf is my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect and blind as the Lord's servant? Christ Jesus is the messenger. The word is angel. He's the messenger of the covenant. The messenger that God sent. It said in Malachi 3:1, he said, behold, I will send John the Baptist and he'll prepare the way before me and the Lord shall suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, he will come to the temple. He's God's perfect servant. He's God's perfect servant. Who is perfect as my servant, God said. Look at verse 21. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. As God's righteous servant fulfilling the law for his people, Christ Jesus did not see and he did not hear as sinful man does. He didn't see and hear as sinful man does. Look at verse 19. Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf is my messenger that I sent? Turn to Isaiah 11. The Lord said in Isaiah 42, he said, I put my spirit upon him. Look here in Isaiah 11, verse 1. He's God, he's all God, and he's all man, the God-man. But as the servant of God, God poured the Spirit out upon him without measure. Look here, Isaiah 11, 1. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Speaking of Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. You see there, the Lord Jesus didn't judge after the sight of the eyes, as carnal men judge, and he did not hear after the hearing that carnal man hears. He didn't reprove after the hearing of the ears, as carnal man does. Christ Jesus was blind and deaf to some things as he walked this earth. Our Lord Jesus was blind and deaf to Satan's temptations. In Matthew 4, if you want to look there, Matthew 4, when our Lord Jesus, as soon as he was baptized, even when he was baptized, he didn't hear as carnal men hear. John the Baptist said, I need to be baptized of you. Don't you baptize me. And the Lord didn't hear that. The Lord said, no. He said, thus it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. He was doing that for his people. And he showed us what he came to accomplish by that watery grave, going into that his death, burial, and resurrection. Now look here, but then as soon as he was baptized, he went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But he did not hear and see as carnal man hears and sees. He'd been there for 40 days and nights without food, and he was hungry. He was all man. He had the same infirmities you and me have. He hungered just like his people. And he's hungry. And the devil said in verse 3, Matthew 4, 3, he said, I'm in the wrong book. Hold on. Matthew 4:3. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We would have failed right then and there. Hungry for 40 days, he hadn't eaten for 40 days. The devil took him up on a pinnacle of the temple, and he challenged him. He said in verse 6, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. The proud heart in sinners, the proud heart, if challenged that way, if you're the Son of God, prove it. We'd have said, I'll show you. I'll show you. The Lord didn't hear like men hear. Jesus said to him, it's written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And this next temptation would have surely slew us right here. Verse 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And said to him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Brethren, how many times have we been tempted by far less? The Lord showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their riches and all their glory all at one time. Or the devil did. And said, I'll give this to you. The Lord didn't see as men see. The devil leaveth him. The Lord said, "Thou shalt." It's written, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And the devil left him, and angels came and ministered to him. Our Lord was deaf and blind to some things as he walked this earth. Our Savior was blind and deaf to those he loved. He was blind and deaf to those he loved, who would turn him from the work the Father sent him to accomplish. He was preaching the gospel one day in Matthew 12. It says in Matthew 12:47, it says, then one said to him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to speak with thee. This was Mary. She believed the gospel, but most of his natural relatives, they didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. And it says here They were standing without, desiring to speak with him. Verse 48, but he answered and said to him that told him, who's my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, and he said, behold my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, that is, believe on Christ, that's my brother and my sister and my mother. You see, he couldn't be turned from the work the Father sent him to do. He's preaching the gospel. And he wouldn't be turned by his natural descendants, those he knew and loved. Our Savior, look at Mark chapter 8. Our Savior was blind and deaf to the desires of even his apostles who tried to turn him from the cross. Mark 8 and verse 31. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Peter didn't want to see him, his master, go to the cross and die on that cross. He didn't understand. He didn't understand what Christ was doing. That was another temptation of the devil using Peter. But it said, but when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. You see, the Lord made him of quick understanding. He saw not as men see. He heard not as men heard. He knew what that was. He knew that was the devil's temptation. And he did not heed that word. He was deaf to the accusation and slanders of men. Go with me to Psalm 30. Hold your place in Matthew, but go to Psalm 38. I want you to see this. Psalm 38. This is Christ right here in this psalm. Psalm 38:12. The accusations and slanders of men. They called him a winebibber. They called him a gluttonous man. They called him a child born of fornication. They said he eats and drinks with sinners. Thank the Lord he does. But look what he says here. And then they just put all, just spewed all kind of venom upon him when they arrested him. Psalm 38:12, he said, they also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. He didn't revile back. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. Thou wilt hear. Look at Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Here's when it happened right here. Matthew 27. Verse 12. It says, and when he was accused, Matthew 27:12. When he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. He was like a deaf man, like he didn't hear it. He answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. You know what 1 Peter 1:23 says? It says, when he was reviled, that's what they were doing, reviling him. Saying every just nasty thing they could say against him. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. Now listen, he didn't even do it in his heart. He was perfect. He came to magnify the law and make it honorable. He came to magnify the law and make it honorable. And it says, and when he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. That's what he did. That's what he said in that psalm. But Lord, I'm hoping in you. I'm trusting in you. Isaiah 53:7 says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb before the slaughter and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Now anybody that wants to boast that they've kept the law, have you done any of this perfectly? Because this is what it took to magnify and honor the law. He was a blind man when it came to the things that he had to suffer on the cross. He let all the obstacles and all the suffering he was going to face, he didn't let that turn him away. He was going to have to bear the sin of his people. He was going to have to bear the curse of God. He's going to be forsaken of God. He said in John 12:27, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." And there came a voice from heaven saying, "I both glorified it and will glorify it again." He said, "I gave my back to the smiters, to them that plucked off the hair of my beard. I didn't hide my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore I shall not be confounded. I've set my face like a flint. I know I shall not be ashamed. He's near that justifies me. Who will contend with me?" That's perfect faith. That's perfect faith in God the Father that it took to magnify and honor the law. To declare the righteousness of God. To declare God just and justifies people. That's the righteous, perfect faith it took to do it. The Hebrew writer said, "Look to run this race, look into the Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of faith." Here's what he did. Who, for the joy that was set before him, that's what he saw. He saw spiritual things. He saw the joy set before him that the Father promised. And therefore he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Right now, brethren, from his throne in glory, right now from his throne in glory, he's magnifying and honoring the law by being blind and deaf to certain things. That's right. Look back at our text in Isaiah 42, look at verse 19. The second part there, he says, "Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant." On the cross, our Lord Jesus accomplished the redemption of all those given him in divine election. And God raised him to his right hand as the perfect captain of our salvation. Listen to, he's perfect. That's who he is. He's perfect. And by his one offering, he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Listen to Hebrews 2:10. "It became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." Everything he endured from the whole time of his life, all the way to the cross, to the grave, he did it to be the perfect captain of our salvation. And he perfected his people. He's the author and finisher of faith. He's the perfect righteousness and the perfect holiness of those he represented. Hebrews 1:3 said, "When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." There was no seat in that holiest of holies. That high priest that went in there once a year could never sit down because they never finished the work. But when the Lord Jesus purged the sins of his people, he entered into the true holiest of holies, and he sat down because he finished the work. He did that for somebody. He did that for a particular people. "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." He accomplished it. "Now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." That's what he did. Isaiah 42 back there, verse 21. The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He hath magnified the law and made it honorable. He's done it. And because He justified all His people, because He made us the righteousness of God in Him, right now from His throne in glory. Verse 20, seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but He heareth not. Christ sees the sins of His people's flesh. He sees it. Seeing many things. He sees it. He sees all things. But because He made His people righteous, because He put away our sin, because He magnified the law and honored it, He's magnifying and honoring it now, even toward those lost sheep that He's redeemed. Even toward you that are His people who believe Him, who still have a sin nature. He's magnifying that law. He's honoring that law by observing not. Seeing many things, but thou observest not. What do you mean He observes not? He will not charge sin to His people. He knows about them. That He knows the sin that's in our flesh. But He won't charge them to His people. Numbers 23:21. Listen to this now. This is true of all God's elect. This is true of everybody for whom Christ died. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath He seen perverseness in Israel. He hath not beheld, nor has He seen, the iniquity and perverseness in His people. There is yet sin in His people. There is yet sin in His people. In our flesh dwells no good thing. But because He fulfilled the law for His people, because He is the righteousness of His people, because He purged all the sins of His people away, because we are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ, He sees, but He does not observe. He does not lay them to our charge. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. What does He do? He magnifies the law and shows how He's honored the law by opening the ears of His people. But He heareth not. Verse 20, He openeth the ears, but He heareth not. For His lost sheep, He's going to send the gospel to each one that He redeemed. Each one that He redeemed. And He's going to speak effectually this command. He's going to say in verse 18, hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that you may see. He opens the eyes. He's the one who opens the eyes. God told Ezekiel, He took him out into that valley of dry bones. And it says they were very dry. They were scattered. They were laying all about. And he said, can these bones live? He said, Lord, you know. He said, you say to these bones, live. And you pray to me to send the Spirit. And He said, and I will send the Spirit, and I will make them live, and they will know I did it, and they will glorify me. And that's what God's doing through this gospel. He said, those bones represent the house of Israel. They represent my spiritual people. He's the one who opens the eyes. The Lord is. He opens the eyes. If you can confess you're blind, like that blind man He gave sight to, if you can confess you're blind, that you have no ability in yourself to make yourself righteous and holy and save yourself, that you need Christ to do it all, if you can confess that, it's because He's opened your eyes to see that and know that. And for His saints, when we need correction, because He does see the sin of our flesh and He does know, He opens our ears.
He opens our eyes. He turns us to behold Him on the cross and what He's done for us. That's how He corrects His people. That's how He grants you repentance when you need correcting. It's making you see what He's accomplished for you all over again. But when it comes to anyone attempting to accuse or condemn His people, He magnifies and He honors the law by being deaf to the charge. He will not hear the charge. Because if He condemned one that He's already justified, that wouldn't honor and magnify the law at all. And He doesn't do that. When the devil raised up the law of Moses to condemn Joshua, the high priest, and Joshua, the high priest, was guilty. He had sinned. And the devil says he came before God and tried to condemn Joshua with the law. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuked thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered, and he spake unto those that stood before him, and he said, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And he said, "Behold, I've caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. He said this to Joshua, "I've caused your iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment." And he said, "Let him set a fair mitre upon his head." And so they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. That's how he granted repentance to Joshua the high priest. Is he showed him, "Nobody can lay anything to your charge, Joshua. I've redeemed you. I've clothed you. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God to justify. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Scripture says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That's how he honored and magnified the law. He covered us then when he came and opened our ear and opened our eyes, and he gave you faith to believe him and to confess him. He clothed us in his righteousness. And he says this, Song of Songs, chapter 4 and verse 7. He says to his bride, "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." He won't see it otherwise. "What about the sins of my flesh? I see sin in me." There's some things he won't see. Because he's going to honor his law. And he's put that sin away. And he says, "I'm going to tell you what I do see. I'm going to tell you I see it how it is. I see no spot in you." How did you get this? Ezekiel 16:14, "Thy beauty is perfect through my comeliness, which I put upon thee, saith the Lord God." Oh, brethren, this is why the psalmist said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." This is what I pray the Lord to help us to do. I pray He would make us deaf and blind to things that He's deaf and blind to. And make us hear and see the things He heard and saw. What do you mean? I mean this. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "We look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." They're temporary. "But the things which are not seen are eternal." Just like our Lord was blind to His own wants and His own will, that's what I pray He make me and you. Blind to our own wants and our own will. Not insistent on our own way. Just like He was blind to every obstacle before Him, I pray He would make us blind to every obstacle before us and every enemy that opposes us, to make us see Christ and know you have nothing to fear. Christ is with you. I pray He make us blind to the offenses and the sins that are in our brethren. Make us be like Japheth and Shem, and who covered their father's nakedness. Make us know that Christ has put away the sin of his people and justified them and made them righteous, so that we can be merciful to one another. We can remind each other of the great forgiveness we have in Christ, that he will not impute sin to his people, just like Nathan did to David. And by that, the Lord will speak and open the ear of his child and grant them repentance and turn them back to him, and they keep walking by faith in him, seeing things this world can't see, Christ Jesus, our righteousness. I pray he make us deaf to all the rumors and slanders and accusations that men wage against you and against me and against his people. Make us just not even give ear to them. Make us deaf to them. Just like our Lord, he won't hear it. He won't hear it. And I pray above all that he make us see him high and lifted up. See him ruling, reigning, everything in this world. See him seated there because he has perfected his people forever. See him there with all ability to send the gospel to his people, all ability to quicken the heart and open the ear, all ability to correct us when we need correcting, all ability to strengthen us when we need strengthening, all ability to keep what he's begun in his people and finish it all the way to the end. May he make us blind to everything that is carnal and here below and is perishing, because it's just going to be a little while, brethren, and the Lord's going to fold it all up. But the things which are not seen by these carnal eyes, those things are eternal. They're forever. They're the creation of our righteous Lord Jesus, who served God in perfection. That's what we need. We need to see him. We need to hear him. And we need to be blind and deaf to everything here below. You remember when the Lord saved Saul of Tarsus? When the Lord came and saved Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, he was so proud of himself and all that he had done. And he had his papers, and he's going to arrest God's people and throw them into prison and have them killed and everything else. And he's marching along. And you know what the first thing the Lord did is he shined a light and he blinded him. He had to be blinded to his own so-called goodness and blinded to everything he put his confidence in. And then the Lord gave him sight to see the unseen. He gave him sight to see the Lord Jesus and believe him. That's what we need. That's what we need constantly, brother. Pray for that for one another. Pray the Lord make us see him constantly. All right, let's go to him. Our Father, we thank you for this word. We pray, Lord, you bless it. Keep your people. Keep us looking only to him and trusting only him. Lord, help us to hear you. Help us to see you by faith. And Lord, stop up our ears to everything that would turn us from Christ, everything that would discourage us. Lord, be our strength, be our confidence, be our assurance and our hope. We ask you, Lord, do this in our hearts. And as we partake of this, your table, Lord, we pray you'd help us to remember you. Help us to remember your broken body and your shed blood by which you redeemed your people. Thank you for this day. Thank you for these brethren. Thank you, Lord, for the service, the food we're going to receive after the service. We pray, Lord, you bless us. We need your blessing every hour. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. All right. Brother